You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coves. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere in the planet. Ellen O'Neill is here, and she's looking quite fancy in her cute blouse. Ali Tamber is here.
And wet from the rain, from the torrential rain that we had to drive in. But and we are each on 1510 WWBC each and every week here on Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, on the On Demand button, you can get all of our archive shows for the last quite a few years, actually. We've been on the air for 14 years, so you figure out two guests per show just about for the last 52 weeks, 14 years. That's a lot of people.
It is.
And Stacey Sullivan is with us today here in the studio.
My friend. Doesn't she look beautiful?
She looks beautiful as always. A longtime friend of the show.
I feel like we're having a fashion shoot today.
I know.
this is our third annual.
It is. So, you know what? We sit here on Mondays and we speak about issues that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, in our state, around the world. And what I like to say is kitchen table topics, whether people want to talk about financial literacy, whether they want to talk about opening a business, jewelry, fathers, mothers, banned books and unbanned books, whatever you want to talk about. We try to remember that on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our show is a show that we understand freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And we try to play nice, right, Miss Ellen? We try to play nice
That's
on our
right.
show.
And have everybody's views heard, because once again, we're in a kind of a topics war, if you will, with people having specific opinions and so forth that are pretty radical. You know, everybody wants their side to be heard.
Well,
so we try and stay right down the middle.
Yeah, and you know what it is too? It's as you get older and you get bolder and you get wiser, most of us who understand what our planet is about, we try to be a positive force and leave a really good footprint behind for the next generation. It's like I told somebody this morning, having children doesn't come with a handbook, right? And I see Stacy shaking her head. It doesn't come with a handbook. And so we give the world the best we can at that time. And if later on we learn something else that can help our kids, ourselves, our nation, our co-workers, our neighbors, then we do it. We change. Ali, you're shaking your head. You're the voice of experience here.
Yes, that's a nice way to say it. Seven. Good morning. I have seen it in action where the actions of parents and the role they
show to their children is then manifested in the children's way that they handle a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and that can come out good or bad. So my son has it right on the nose. Both of his girls are looking for someone like him that's loving and caring and inclusive of the whole family.
Well, today is no different on our show. Our second segment, we're going to have a good friend with Sullivan Jewelers. Stacey Sullivan is here. She's going to be talking about all the great things that are happening at the jewelry shop. And, hey, Mother's Day is coming up. And a lot of positivity in the air this morning. And our first segment, you know, I always have great people that want to come on the show. And there was someone who was scheduled to come on and couldn't make it. And then I was, as usual, scrolling down Facebook. And I remember there's a gentleman that is always writing nice things about children and families and fathers. And he's got a group, Fathers Missing in Action. His name is Gerald Hawkins. And he's on the phone, and he's going to join us the first segment to talk a little bit about his organization, what they do, and his interest in why more fathers should be involved in their children's lives. Now, that's not to say that mothers shouldn't be involved, because like my mother used to say, I'm the one who bear the pain for 9 months and carry the kid, so I get first dibs. So, Mr. Hawkins, are you on the line?
Hi, yes, I'm here on the line. Thank
Good
you
morning.
For having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time from your busy day to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I tried my very best to download the information you sent for us, and for some reason, it's not coming through. So we'll talk, because I know what you like to talk about. So here we go. So talk to us a little bit about fathers missing in action, the gap, like you call it, and why you and your partner decided to start this group.
Well, thank you for having me. My name is Gunnar Hawkins. I am a military veteran, a father of three kids. I was adopted at birth, and I started this organization. I was mentoring kids at my church youth group, actually young boys, helping these young men become, helping these boys become better men. And what I noticed was the fathers were not actively involved in their lives. Their mothers were dropping the boys off, and the fathers were missing in action. As I coached football, I would notice that there were, the mothers would bring their boys to football practice, and the fathers were MIA. They were missing in action. But the meaning of fathers MIA, the organization, MIA stands for Fathers Motivated, Involved, and Active. And what we do is try to move those fathers that are missing in action to motivated, involved, and active. And how do we do that? Thanks for asking. I appreciate you asking that.
Yeah.
What we do is we go through the kids, those kids that don't have their father in their lives, and we try to mentor and making sure that these kids have a fighting chance. And what we do is we collect the information on their fathers. We try to contact their fathers, let them know, listen, you have a child out here that needs you in their life. And we have classes that we actually teach the fathers, 24/7 dad, teach the fathers, and helping the fathers to be more engaged, giving them the statistics of a fatherless child so that these fathers can be more engaged in their children's lives.
Wow. Very interesting. And, you know, we've all seen that when fathers are involved in children's lives and they're a role model for the children, we see that the children have a lot of interaction in ways of they're positive. Their behavior is positive. We see that the caregiving for small children when fathers are involved makes a well-rounded child. All of us could see that based on what we see with our family and our friends. When both parents are involved in, like you say, sports and homework and who's dropping and who's picking up, it's a partnership. You're laying the foundation for that child, because children are their environment, right? And when there are two parents involved in a loving, kind way, it only helps the child and society as a whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, when the father is involved, kids experience fewer behavior issues. Girls develop stronger math skills when they're growing up with their fathers. Boys get better grades when they're with their fathers. These young people have better decision-making skills when their fathers in their lives. Listen, mothers, I'm not you know, giving you guys any flat, because listen, mothers have been doing an awesome job. You guys have been doing a great job, but I just know that the mothers can't do the job, are either not supposed to do the job by themselves. The fathers should be there to help carry the load and give the guidance that comes from what only a male can give.
Exactly.
So why do you think so many fathers are not taking the ultimate responsibility for their children's welfare and care and participating in the decision-making of child rearing?
Well, with my experience in our organization, we have the father that's estranged, the one that does not maybe want to participate in their child's life for whatever reason. We have the incarcerated father. You know that 92% of parents that are in prison are fathers. Also, the deceased father. We have children that fathers are deceased, so they need to be mentored as well. So there are several reasons why that male figure, that father, is not there. But we try to make it our point to help spread the word that the father, if he can be there, he needs to be in his child's lives, in their children's lives. Do you know that 85% of youth that grew up in prison, that grew up in prison, grew up without fathers? I apologize.
Yes.
71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth that commit suicide are from fatherless homes. So sometimes the father may think that he's not important and he's not needed, that, you know, the mother, you know, she got it. The only thing my child needs is a child support check, whatever it may be. Because, in fact, I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter your zip code, because a CEO from a Fortune 500 company can divorce his wife and divorce his children at the same time.
That's right. And people often forget that fathers are more than just fathers are really there a lot oftentimes for protection and economic support, as well as good role models. But Mr. Hawkins, what do you say when the fathers alienate the mothers from the children? Because that happens too at times, where fathers will take an active role, but unfortunately to a point where they try to alienate the moms.
I see that both ways. Father wants to take an active role, but, you know, because of the fact that the relationship did not work out with the mother, they don't want to co-parent. They want nothing to do with the mother, and that goes both ways. Where I've seen some fathers that want to be a part of their child's life, but the mothers, for some reason, because of the fact that the relationship did not work out, or because he's with another woman, or whatever it may be, she does not. She does everything in her power to block that relationship between the father and the child. So, I mean, listen, this society is doing everything backwards. I say that, at least here in the United States, a single mother receives more income for not having the father around than seeing a family of where we have the father and the mother that are there, where they receive no help if for some reason that they are not able to afford or not to be able to go above the poverty line. Sometimes I feel like we have the backwards. We need to reward those two-parent homes and not so much reward those mothers that are out there just having kid after kid after kid.
Yeah, like give like a basic income to middle class families. Like say $500 a month to the two parent household, so that the father and mother could have that extra help for the children. And I see Allie is shaking her head, and Ellen with what you're talking about. So I don't know if one of you guys want to jump in here, Miss Allie.
Yeah, I was just thinking of some of the things that pop in my mind that are different than the way I grew up. And, you know, I'm the only one. But it's, we had simple things like a class on how to cook, you know, home economics. And there were boys and girls in the home economics class. But it stretched over to starting a family and how, you know, none of the graphics, but the fact that, okay, if you do this, here are things to think about and that sort of stuff. So the kids, male and female both, were trained a little. And I also feel as if your own parents are role models on how you move forward with being able to know what to do when you have your own child.
And same thing, how do you know when, you know, the father of these folks that Mr. Hawkins is dealing with have had that role model? So right. It's this situational thing that just keeps manifesting because nobody seems to learn. I remember when I was, I'm one of nine kids, and my dad, I have five sisters. My dad used to take us out on date afternoons. We would go to lunch together. He would open the car door. He'd pull the chair out. My mom used to take my brothers out. And it was like a date thing, so that like what kind of we knew
how to
do.
So you lived by example.
And he lived by example. But both of my parents, my mom was orphaned at the age of 16, and my dad's father left when he was 2 years old and left his mother in the 40s, 30s, I should say, with five kids. So she had to raise my dad and her and his siblings by themselves too. But once again, it goes back to that same thing. If you don't have that role model in your life, you find organizations like Mr. Hawkins' organization
that can help fill in that blank. Yep.
So, Mr. Hawkins, you had a Facebook post yesterday, and you had so many comments on that post, and I really enjoyed the comments. And one of the people wrote to you that after researching your statement, I found your post to be 100% correct. And that I'm so happy you made the post because it was not meant to insult. And he put a lot of facts in there about the children and talked about the post that you put up. Talk to me a little bit about what you wrote, because you said you said that most men who went to prison or in prison were raised by a single mother. And then you wrote, more proof that fathers are needed. Now that's not to knock single moms, because a lot of single moms are doing a phenomenal jobs in raising their children and families. But what motivated you to write that post? I had a funny feeling that something happened and you said, let me post this and see. And you, most people supported your post and the way you saw it.
Yes, I deal with our fatherless kids on a pretty much on a daily basis. And you can, like I said before, one of the statistics, 85% of youth that go to prison come from fatherless homes. So, and from a single mother household. And sometimes, whenever you post certain things, sometimes people, you kind of get in their, I guess I would say, get in their feelings, or either think that you're bashing them, which I really wasn't bashing the single mothers. Actually, I'm trying to help the single mothers, actually. I'm trying to let these fathers know, listen, your role, you have a very important role. And I tell people all the time, I grew up, even though I was adopted, my adopted parents, my adopted father, he was strict, but strict to the point where I needed it. I had guidance. He taught me respect for myself, and he taught me respect for others. And I tell a lot of people all the time, listen, it wasn't so much that I was afraid of the police. I was afraid of my father if he found out if I did something wrong. And that's the thing. Our kids don't have that moral compass that comes from that man. Sometimes they can get away a little bit, from a young boy, he'll stick out his chest in front of his mom once he gets a certain age, but he's not so apt to do that if that father was there part of his life. And because of the fact that we're dealing with this epidemic of fatherlessness and these kids out committing crimes, a lot of these kids commit crimes because of the fact that the mothers have told some of these young men, okay, now you're the man of the house. Now that responsibility, now they're thinking like, okay, I'm the man. I see my mother struggling. I need to find some sort of income. And sometimes these young boys try to find the fast money route. And that fast money route gets them into trouble with the law. Because the fact that they feel as if I'm the man, I need to take care, I need to put food on the table, I need to do something, because I'm not really old enough to sit there, and I'm not old enough to carry have a job that's going to pay me a certain salary. I'm only going to make minimum wage, but my household needs more than minimum wage, so what do I need to do? So, but if that father was there to be able to help with the finance and be able to help guide that young man or either that young lady, give them the necessary tools to be able to provide for their family in the future, then a lot of these statistics definitely will go down. with the fatherless, with the father and fatherless rates.
Yeah, and you know, in numerous studies we have seen where positive father involvement is associated with children's higher academic achievement, greater school readiness, stronger math and verbal skills, greater emotional security, higher self-esteem, and fewer behavioral problems at school. And where, well, where are we missing this message to people amongst us, or siblings, or sisters and brothers, or neighbors, or friends? Because oftentimes people will tell you, well, I like to be free. I like the freedom of not having a man to be, for me to have to depend on day and night, or whatever. But the truth is, once you have children, they really should become your focus point, because you want to raise good citizens who are educated and who can take opportunities and become somebody in life, right?
Correct. Fathers are definitely needed. Listen, you just don't know how much, even the kids that we mentor, how they even thrive. You know, a mother came to me last week and was like, my two sons, I never seen them like this before. They're more verbal, they're more active, they have a plan, they want to be able to be successful in life, they want to go to college now, all because of the fact that myself and my business, my co-founder Robert Jackson, all because of the fact that we imparted into their lives. We have a main event that we have every year that just passed, where we have young ladies who fathers are not in their lives, who will probably never get a chance to do a father-daughter dance. What we do is we partner with first responders, police officers and firefighters out of Broward and Dade County. We go to different high schools, and these young ladies, who, like I said, will probably never get a chance to do a father-daughter dance. These first responders take the place of these young ladies' fathers for one night so that these young ladies can be able to do a simulated father-daughter dance. And at the end of the night, we give away scholarships to the seniors. But before they can even participate in this gala, we have sessions that they must attend. We have a unpost social media session where we teach them what and what not to post on social media. We have a motivational session where we get these kids motivated to go to college, get these kids motivated to do better. We have a boss up session where we have entrepreneurs in our community teach them about how to start their own business. We also have
class. So you take an interest in their lives, and I read where you guys gave out $78,000 in scholarships.
Yes, throughout our years that we've been in existence, we've given out quite a bit of money and scholarship. We give back, we impart into these kids' lives. And, you know, we also have a healing session that we do as well, a life of psychology, where these kids can actually come and talk about the hurt that they're dealing with, the pain of having their fathers not in their lives. Like I said before, listen, I was adopted at birth, so I understand how it feels to not have that, you know, to have that abandonment issues and feeling that you're not wanted. So these issues have to be dealt with. These kids have to see better, and if they see better, they do better.
Right, and studies have shown that a woman who's had a father involved in her childhood experienced fewer psychological problems as young women who did not have a father. And I can attest to that. You know, I have 18 siblings, and I see the difference with my sisters and brothers who didn't have the mother and father in the house versus the 11 of us that had the father and mother in the house. So I speak from experience with that as well. But Mr. Hawkins, how can we help people nowadays to understand that before you bring a child into the world, you have to be mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially, physically able to take care of this little person that you want to bring into the world? Because in the greatest nation on earth, the United States, where education and opportunities are so abundant, it is unbelievable that people still don't know about birth control. And they don't know where children come from. I mean, that is a, I find that, I feel like the mothers, the aunties, the cousins, the friends, we are missing that in talking to each other. People have to speak about the human reproductive system at appropriate ages and tell folks that, listen, if you sleep with a man with no job, no ambition, no money in the bank, no future, you're going to have a kid for a man with no job, no ambition, no money in the bank, no future. It's simple.
Yes, I think that we must sound the alarm. We must, especially to our men, you know, dealing with, you know, the child that has already, you know, that already has been born. We must sound the alarm and let our men know, listen, you are important. You must be in your child's life. And that's what we're trying to do on a daily basis, where we have these classes, where we teach them. We're trying to teach men how to be better fathers.
It'll be good if they could teach them that before they impregnate someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm quite sure there's probably a lot of programs that are out there, and I don't want to probably step on anyone's toes and give it out any information that I'm not familiar with, but you know, I think my assignment is to deal with the fatherless and helping these fathers become more important.
Well, can you, before we go off here, we have a minute left, give us the website so people can contribute, volunteer, make a monetary contribution if they want towards a scholarship, because you are doing a lot of things with
or
the
maybe
food,
learn how to replicate what you're
and
doing
the food
here.
Drives, and yeah. He's doing the food drives and all this good stuff, great role models. So give us your website and how someone could contact you and get involved in Fathers Missing in Action.
Yes, you can contact us through our website, fathersmia.org. We are on all social media platforms, Facebook, Fathers MIA, Twitter, and Instagram, Fathers MIA. But yes, we want to be able to have, my goal is to be able to have a Fathers MIA ISD in every major city here within the U.S., where we helping kids and also educating fathers. Let them know, listen, you are important. You are needed, and your child needs you. The responsibility should be on you. You should want to see your seed. You should want to see your child flourish. And we can't depend on the government, and we need the donations from our community, because we are trying to help our community help itself. FathersMIA.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing such great information and the opportunity once again for folks to be able to start this, even right here in Brevard County. We have a couple of options for that. But we are going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Christen Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9
Welcome
Mattress
to MedFast
and Furniture.
We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast. Think Medfast. With 18 locations, there's a Medfast near you.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
This is a certified public accounting.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Wow, what a great segment we had earlier today. Our second segment is with our friend Stacy Sullivan, my ABWA sister. And I'm so proud that I joined ABWA because I met Ellen O'Neill, I met Stacy, and so many wonderful people. And we support each other and we support each other's businesses. And Stacy's here to talk about her family owned for so many generations, Stacy Sullivan Jewelers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sita.
And Ellen, you know, the spiel, we're heard not just in Brevard County,
that's
Florida,
right,
but
all
we're
over.
Heard all over.
1510 WWBC, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, you can always get our archive shows. We post them on our Facebook page as well as our website, SitaMediaInc.com. And we share it with Stacy Sullivan so she can share it on all of her great information.
Right. And Stacy's here to talk about all the beautiful pieces of jewelry at her shop right here in Melbourne, Florida. Whether you're looking to create a unique statement piece or bring a cherished family heirloom back to life, they would work hand in hand with you or your loved ones and make it a vision of reality. Whatever you want, it can become real. Just go and see Stacy. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's talk. So we want to talk today a little bit about elevating, uplifting, and shining light in a positive way, but shining all this light with shiny jewelry. So talk to us a little bit. Bring us up to speed. What's happening at the jewelry shop? I mean, Melbourne is growing. The
Melbourne
is right there.
Yes, we're in downtown Melbourne across from Hotel Melby, which is an amazing location because that has been a very good landmark for people to find.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like, I think people are bringing the romance back. You open Facebook and everybody's getting engaged, or somebody has an anniversary, or somebody wants to give a friendship ring to someone. There's a lot of jewelry on Facebook. I see that all the time, and people are always showing off their stuff. So what is your best sellers, and how do people find you?
Well, we've been in town since 1955, and I am third generation, so I'm very proud to be able to carry on the family legacy. I work next to my mom, who's in my showroom, and my daughter, Caitlin, who's my oldest daughter, is interested in pursuing into the fourth generation. So we are about to launch our online store, which I'm so proud because we've always had a presence of online business. You know, people comparing what we have in our store to what they can find. find online. But a lot of our clients either move away or they just don't have the time to pop into our store. And I'm so happy that we'll be able to be available to them.
Have an online presence, right? Mm-hmm. You know what it is? People are just so afraid to come to Melbourne, downtown Melbourne. They're like, I can't find parking.
Oh, that's easy.
And
that's
there
the
is.
Easy part. Yeah,
we have parking.
Yeah,
and I find
well, I have a spot right behind my store. It's my private parking lot. So if
they
you're shopping
feel,
with
yeah.
me, that's a piece of cake.
Yeah, because a lot of people would say, oh, I just don't want to deal with the traffic in downtown. I'm like, try living in Chicago. Try living in New York
different.
City, right? Yeah. So Mother's Day is coming up, and you have a lot of specials for Mother's Day.
Yes,
and you have
a
lot of
jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the spring sale.
Okay, so our spring sale basically is store-wide, and it can be from something in our store to something we're creating for a Mother's Day type of gift. And so what that could entail is a special commemoration piece that would have birthstones for each of the children in a pendant or a ring, or it could just be maybe a symbol of the love that the family has. Recently, we made a promise ring for a young couple, and his birthstone was emerald, and hers is aquamarine. And I said, did you know that both of those are beryl? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And both of those are the same gemstone material. So what we did was we found a stone that was not the color of emerald or aquamarine. It was kind of a minty color of, like, if the two stones had a
blended.
Baby.
Yeah.
And so that was the stone he presented for their promise ring. And so I think what sets our store apart is that we're very big on the symbolism and the sentiment that goes behind the gift, so that it's not just something you pick out of the catalog or the showcase and it's like, I'll take that one. It's
a lot
more
of thought
about.
Goes into it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with Stacey Sullivan, and her store is generational. Can you imagine, what, three generations? And you're about to have fourth if your daughter goes into it, right? And her business is in downtown Melbourne, right across from the Hotel Melby. But here's the thing. How does it feel to be a third generation with the same business?
Gosh, I have goosebumps right now as you ask me that question. I think it feels surreal in a way, because I think about how hard my grandparents worked and my parents, and just seeing them, what they poured into it, the faith that it took, the reflection and the endurance, and to me, being able to carry that torch is a big.
They were ambitious.
Really, yeah.
Well, and it's really cool. I think you told me that your mom was one of the first gemologists, right?
Female
gemologist in 19, what, 70?
In 82 was when she graduated, and she just, we just redid our studio. So if you've been into our store, welcome back in, because it is new and improved. We've gone with an all white and gold palette with jewel tones intermixed. And so my mom and I both framed our diplomas from GIA in gold frames, and hers was 19 years and 1 month prior to mine. And I was like, wow. Only God knew that was going to be how it worked out.
It's always so, it's like a family. It's like friendly when you go and you feel right away like I belong in this store.
So exactly. And so I know, like, with a retail store, for instance, I know that there's a buyer that goes out and looks for certain things. So how do you and your mom shop for the beautiful stones that you
Well,
get?
We have a combination. Some of our suppliers come to our store, and we also go to shows. Two of the girls that are on my staff went to their first jewelry show in Miami this last spring, and that was such an eye-opening experience for them, and seeing it through their eyes was kind of fun. But personally, if my mom hadn't won the trip in 1998 to the Basel Watch, Clock, and Jewelry Fair in Switzerland through the Jewelers Board of Trade, I don't know that I'd be in the business. And it was such a big experience, because growing up in the business, I loved the customers. I loved the fact that, you know, my mom and dad had an intimate connection with creating pieces, but I didn't see how it fit in for me until I went to that show. And the artistic aspect of it was what really gave me that bigger picture. And just for example, the Kentucky Derby is coming up May 6th, and I have a client who his great-grandmother went to the Derby. His grandmother, his mother, you know, they've all lived in Kentucky just down the road. And we're taking pieces of jewelry from all of them, all the way back to his great-grandma, and creating a legacy Kentucky Derby pendant, lapel pin, that he's going to wear this year at the Derby. And he's actually a miracle himself. He wasn't even supposed to live past a child because of a very debilitating illness. And he's a paraplegic, but he is getting himself to that Derby, and he is going to wear this lapel pin. And I am so proud of it. It's arriving tomorrow, and I can't wait to show the world what it is because of the history that's behind it.
And people that love jewelry realize that there's an experience,
right? So
jewelry.
So what are some of the other services and expertise offered by Sullivan's Jewelers?
One of my favorite is we do an estate evaluation, and many times people will inherit jewelry that, you know, some of it fits into their family heritage, but not all of it does. And we are huge on taking pieces that might not be passed on in their family and either refurbishing them or restoring them or finding a way, even if it's flatware, silverware, that we can find a way to pay them for it and find another way to, you know, carry it forward. Right. So,
and you've been in business how long at that location?
At this location, we've been there since 2020. So it's been about 3 years, and it has changed and evolved dramatically. I remember the year we started this podcast, it was 3 years ago, and I feel like we've grown. The fact that we have an on-site repair gentleman who's full-time, before he was part-time, and now we have a laser welder, so we can fix those problem pieces that maybe it's grandma's garnet ring that the stone got glued in because they're like, how can we fix prongs on all these little, because the
so you do have a repair heat and maintenance policy at the shop for anybody who buys a piece there,
or whether they buy it there or not, we can fix it.
Wow, well, there you have it, folks. Whether you bought it there or not, you can go and get things fixed. And I know I got my watches fixed there, and it was really nice. Now, for the people who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today and they're listening, some people have questions about the warranty of the piece. Do you offer warranty for the pieces as well?
Basically, we have rarely fixed our own jewelry because we are so big on the quality aspect. Anything that comes in and out of our store has a rigorous quality control feature where several people check it. And as long as people wear their jewelry with care, it's going to hold up for a very
long
significant
time.
Amount of time. But we do recommend checking it at least twice a year to make sure that.
Which a lot of people don't. A lot of people just put it away.
It. Just come in when you get your teeth cleaned. Usually people do that twice a year.
And here's a question. You know, the main question is when someone wants to buy an engagement ring or a bracelet or a necklace or a beautiful piece of jewelry, the number one question is, does it fit into my budget? If they come in and they say that sentence to you, that question, how do you take it from there?
Well, I love for them to be inspired, to look around our store and find something that just knocks their socks off. And we can take that piece and create it in your budget, whether it's a different stone but a similar color, maybe a different metal. But overall, it's going to give you the same wow effect. And I really try not to let price get in the way. You know, I say it's not set in stone because technically it shouldn't have to be. And we are all about, you know, good deals because that's what's got us through hard times in this economy. But, you know, right now it's really wowing me because these girls are coming in looking for yellow gold engagement rings again. And I just haven't sold an engagement ring until more recently, and now it's repeatedly they want these yellow gold rings, and it's pretty exciting.
So you can buy, sell, I'm looking right at the website, buy, sell, trade redesign and consign. So tell us a little bit about the consignment part. Like, can people trade out of
that's it for the divorcees?
One to the other? Right.
Exactly. Well, some people are okay resetting their diamonds, you know, into a new way. And that's always a fresh start, I feel, because you can't always get what you have. And you know, and but trading it in is a good option, finding something new. But also consignment. And why I think consignment is a win-win, and that's really just my business motto, is trying to find win-wins throughout whatever I can do, is because I'm not tying my financial resources into it, and they're able to get a little more for it by not being in a rush situation to try to liquidate. But with estates, that's mostly where I do my big buying, is through estates, because I feel like we can get really nice gold chains, and if know, diamonds can be remounted. It allows me to give my clients more for their money when I am in it for less. So it seems like a positive for the estate seller and a positive for the buyers who come behind them to buy those products. So, but and consignment just, is a good option.
And just, you know, kind of changing gears a little bit about the redesign. I know now with all the fashion and so forth, the trending is like 6 months maybe. Like, and things start changing. And you'd mentioned yellow gold. You were like, these yellow golds, I can't believe that this is back.
Making
what
a comeback.
Sort of styles and things are starting to make a comeback? Obviously, the yellow gold engagement ring.
Yes. A lot of simple, because lab-grown diamonds are a big trend as well, that a lot of the girls just want a simple ring with a nice big rock. And they can get a big rock with lab-grown diamonds. So, you know, it's 50% less or more. Wow. Discount than the ones that are mined. Plus, they don't have to worry about the ethically, you know, resourced and all of that.
Right.
So even lab-grown gems, you know, our family doesn't necessarily, we're not known for that, but we can certainly get it. So I feel like there's ways that people can build their collections, which is what my daughter is interested in. She wants to help people who are in the younger generation build quality pieces that they'll have for their lifetime, whether they're getting a set of jewelry that complements or one piece that really just
stand out forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's like clothes, right? If you spend on clothing, they last forever. Mm-hmm. You could wear
just
it for
don't
you.
Always have the same size.
Yeah,
right.
Well, we
at least with a ring,
well,
you can actually, size it.
If you spend a lot for it, then it makes you want to stay that size, right? But every gem should have a certificate, right? And so you also have, you give them a certificate when they buy
something.
Yes,
we do feature an appraisal service. And so sometimes people come to us for appraisals for insurance, and others come for appraisals for estate evaluation. So as far as if you buy something from us, it will have documentation.
Right, and some people ask, they say, oh, I want to see the unique qualities of this gem under a magnifying glass. And
we
you do
encourage
that. You encourage that, right? And
yes,
here we come with that big old glass.
We have two microscopes on our showroom floor. One, because we use them a lot for our quality control, but two, we like our customers to be very familiar with the jewelry they're purchasing. To me, when you see a high-quality stone next to a more, you know, a less rare quality stone, it makes you appreciate the higher quality that much more, because, you know, there's a lot of stones out there that are not as premium.
Yeah, because everybody wants to know about the stone, the cut, the clarity. And what is that all about? What a color, right? Is that the four that they all go for?
Good job.
Yeah.
Go.
I see.
And
Allie,
don't forget
listen,
the
you
cost.
Doing your homework.
There's always.
That's right.
I really don't know where I get time to look up the color, the cut, the clarity, and all that. But
well,
I do.
It's important to you because, you know, obviously a nice piece of jewelry is important to you.
Yeah, and when we have a wonderful guest like Stacey Sullivan, who I consider my sister, my ABWA sister, my sister that we link up and we can hit it off, I feel like we're doing our job if they come on our show and we do a little research about what their products and their services, because I also know that Stacey, in addition to giving out the certificate and great professionalism and all that, they also are involved in a lot of charities. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about some of the charitable events and the things you've hosted at Sullivan's, Stacy Sullivan's Jewelers for listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Franks.
Well, we love to pick a charity every month. Sometimes I pick several just because there's a lot of great, rich resources in our town. We helped a autism charity in April, and prior to that, we worked with a women's organization, and in May, we're actually going to be doing something with Lead Brevard and also Called Out, and Called Out helps with awareness for human trafficking. So I try to always take into account some events that are going around those charities so that we have the opportunity to donate a piece of jewelry that ties into what it is. For example, Called Out has a purse bingo, if you know anyone who's into that. It's going to be lots of fun. That's on May 8th in Merritt Island. And so we donated a purse pendant that opens and closes. And, you know, it's just something really cute and fashionable that ties with that event. And with Lead Brevard, their symbol is a starfish. And so we donated a really beautiful Mother of Pearl starfish nice. Pendant in rose gold. So that is going to be their piece. And for autism, we did a beautiful rainbow it was vivid colors, but it graduated with the spectrum in square and round stones, kind of in a bounce back and forth onto a bar vertical drop. And why I do this is because I want people to understand that we have a lot of collaboration when it comes to how the piece signifies with the event. And it could be on a personal level or for a charity.
And, you know, a lot of jewelers, they belong to, like, trade organizations, mm-hmm. and they require them to have really responsible practices, like the Gemological Institute of America and the American Gem Society. Do you belong to any of those for ongoing training or anybody in the store? Well, is that a requirement to be to own a jewelry store?
It's not a requirement, but it definitely helps with credentials. So my mom and I are both graduates of Gemological Institute of America.
She says it so easily. and they offer additional training and things like that.
They
and
you,
what is it, once a year you have to be recertified?
No, you don't. But I think that as a lot of stones, you know, come into the marketplace or different treatments, it's something that we do internally to make sure we're staying up, because we wouldn't ever want to sell something that wasn't properly, you know, documented for a client.
Yeah. And Ellen, the biggest question, the most important question, is about the pets. Let's talk about the pets.
Yeah. Yeah,
the last time you came, you brought the dogs, and I wasn't sure whether you still had them, so we were not sure what. So for our listeners who are tuning in, Stacy came in last time. I think we had like 5 or 6 puppies. What happened to all the puppies?
So we have a lot of mascots. We are a dog-friendly store. A lot of stores in downtown Melbourne are. My pet, Bella, is a miniature Australian Shepherd, and she got pregnant last year with one of my good friend Tammy Tuttle. They're in the dentistry industry locally. She had 5 puppies with their Prince Chance, and basically I have 3 out of the 5 puppies at my house, and you know, they're so adorable. We just decided to keep several.
It's hard to give them up once they're so cute.
Oh, so God. Most important thing for our listeners is give us the website and the location and how someone could contact you if they want to get one of these beautiful pieces.
Okay, so yes, as I mentioned, we are about to launch our brand new website. It's currently STACI, so StacySullivansJewelers.com. And that website, you can not only see jewelry, put it on your wish list, but you can also purchase it. And so that would be a great way to get some ideas of what mom likes before Mother's Day, and we can either ship it to you or you can come in and purchase it. And as far as a good way to contact us, you can call or text, and the number is 321-978-2200. And we're very responsive to text I think that's the easiest way to get in touch, but certainly always emails as well.
You're pretty good with texting, I have to say. Now, one thing that I think a lot of people think about when they're buying jewelry, especially expensive pieces, is trust. Right? They say, do I trust this place? What do you say to people when they say, well, you know, I would say do your research, right? But what do you say to people when they say, well, I want to have that relationship with you. I trust you. You trust me. How do you approach
that? Well, I don't run into that very often because most people are either referred to us or their previous clients, or they find us on Google. And we have over 180 five-star reviews, so that gives you a little bit of peace of mind that you're going to probably have a good five-star experience. That is our goal.
And good instincts, right? Good vibes.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think when you walk in, you have good vibes and good instincts.
Yeah, that's big. I am very intuitive personally, and I pick up on that. So if my store doesn't have that, I've been known to open the front door and the back door and get the energy flow going right through.
Good job.
And with the back parking lot, that gives us the ability to have that convenient
good parking. Going right through.
It's
right?
Like feng shui.
and you want you, well,
if
you
they're
want,
not comfortable, I'm not
right.
Comfortable.
And you want people to feel very positive about the experience there, and you want them to leave knowing that they got a quality piece of jewelry and they're happy about it, and when they wear it, they'll say, oh my gosh, this is why I got this at Stacey Sullivan's Jewelers.
I tend to sometimes use the phrase, give me a ring and I'll help you shine. But my mission statement that I recently came up with is, for generations we've helped people with their family jewelry collections, and to me the only way we could do that is because we've been around for generations.
So people shouldn't wait till they're on a deathbed on hospice to give away a really nice piece of jewelry to a grandchild or a child. Because while you're alive, you could see that child setting that in a new piece of jewelry.
Yeah, do it together.
Do it together, right? Because I see that a lot, and I hear about
that
a lot. Oh, when I die, I'm going to give this to my... Why are you waiting until you die? Give it to them now so they can enjoy it, right? So you've got a minute left. Anything else that you want to say? Danny's saying no, but did we miss anything?
Nope.
We love our customers.
There you go.
And we love you. We trust you immensely.
And make sure all those things that you see on Pinterest or TikTok or any of those places, make sure you take them to Stacey Sullivan's Jewelers in downtown Melbourne, where you can turn that prize into something really cool. So and have it designed and make it really special. Once again, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on 1510 WWBC. Make sure to turn in every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you soon.
Could have lost my mind. Could have lost my mind. Stepped in. But you stepped.